Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to the Voice of Yahweh Radio Ministries,
featuring Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch of the Lighthouse Church. We're excited to have you here today. You are about to partake of a very powerful message by Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch. It's not an accident that you tuned in at this time. This message is just for you. Let's listen at what Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch has to say.
Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. Let's go there. I've entitled this tonight, Do You Practice Sin? God's trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us to live holy lives, right? He's trying to get us to do what is right. And whenever we go out, we're to be a witness to everybody we come in contact with. Is everybody there? Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. Well, let's start at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So the reason why I said 21 is because I want to get at this part where he says down there, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Question. Would an occasional, unintentional act of the flesh keep us or someone else out of God's kingdom? An occasional, unintentional act, I said. If I fall into one of these vices that Paul named here once, does that mean it is all over for me? I want you to think about this, all right? All right, we're going to have to study, we have to go into the Greek in order to find out exactly what Paul's talking about here. So when Paul says, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, Paul uses the word do from the Greek word phrazo, which means to practice. All right? So then whenever he says, they which practice, instead of do, they which practice such things. If Paul had used the Greek word poieo, which means to do, it would have referred to an occasional act. See that? But Paul carefully chose to use the word phrazo, which definitely communicates the idea of something that is done repeatedly or habitually. These are the actions of a person who has put these things into practice in his life, performing them as a matter of routine. These actions are his ritual, his norm, and his pattern of life. Therefore, the verse could be translated, those who put these things into practice in their lives and do these things routinely as a manner of lifestyle shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We all know that an occasional sin will not keep us out of the kingdom because David had a few occasional sins, didn't he? See, I always said studied David quite thoroughly. He never did one sin twice. He only did it one time and then repented and never went back and did it again. All right? You know, we have to understand that God's not fooling around right now. That because of the great moving of his spirit that's going to be occurring across the land, because the power of his glory, God has to get his church together. Amen. He's not mad at you. He's just saying, if he told me one time, if they want bail, I'm going to give them bail and let them see what bail does them. So he's not angry with you. If you choose to walk with him, if you choose to be disobedient to what he's calling you to do, that's your choice. And God will still love you, but he's not going to bless you. That's the bottom line. All right, let's take a look at the following list of the works of the flesh that are not to be routinely practiced or habitually performed. Talk about adultery. The Greek word porneo describes any sexual relationship that occurs outside the sanctified boundaries of marriage. Uncleanliness. The Greek word for uncleanliness refers to lewd or unclean thoughts that eventually produce lewd or unclean actions. It strongly suggests that these actions begin in the mind as unclean thoughts before they manifest as unclean deeds. And these are all the things in Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 21. All right? Lasciviousness. This word in the Greek text describes excess, but it primarily refers to the excessive consumption of food or wild, undisciplined living that is especially marked by unbridled sex. Idolatry. The Greek word, and I can't pronounce that word, depicts the worship of idols, or simply put, idolatry. The act of idolatry transpires when an individual gives his complete undivided attention, devotion, passion, love, or commitment to a person, project, or object other than God. When something other than God takes first place in a person's mind, he has entered, at least to a measure, into the sin of idolatry. Witchcraft. The word witchcraft is from the Greek word pharmakeia, the Greek word for medicines or drugs that inhibit a person's personality or change his behavior. We would call this mind-altering drugs. The Greek word pharmakeia is where we get the words pharmaceutical, drugs, or the word pharmacy. This word was used in connection with sorcery, magic, or witchcraft. However, for our purpose in today's world, the word witchcraft describes the flesh's attempts to avoid being confronted and changed. Do you see that? All right, let's go to hatred. The Greek word pictures people who cannot get along with each other. They have deep issues with each other, holding resentments, grievances, complaints, and grudges that go way back in time and have very deep roots. Something occurred along the way that caused one or both of them to be offended. Instead of letting it go, they are divided, hostile, and fiercely opposed to each other. They are anti-Gnostic, aggressive, and harsh. They hate each other, they have a grudge, and are determined to hold on to their offense. That's why you see a lot of people in prison. That's why you see a lot of broken marriages. That's why you see brothers and sisters turn against each other and hate each other. It's because they have this hatred within them. And you know, it's sad whenever somebody has that in them, and then they get married and they mess up one marriage because they won't get rid of it, and then they go into a second, third, fourth, fifth marriage, and they always blame the other person when really and truly it's them that has the problem. Alright? Let's look at the word variance. The Greek word eros depicts a bitterly mean spirit that is so consumed with its own self-interest and self-ambitions that it would rather split and divide than to admit it is wrong or to give an inch to an opponent. Isn't that what you see in the house of God? You see that in marriages? You know, they'll stand their ground. They don't care what, hell or high water. They're not going to give in, right? This is exactly why churches end up divided and families frequently dissolve. Most of the issues that bring such division are not that important. But the enemy, he just explodes them. He makes a mountain out of a molehill, right? Nevertheless, division occurs because the flesh simply hates to surrender, to admit that it is wrong, to let someone else be right, or to compromise. Flesh would rather blow issues all out of proportion and wreak havoc than to let someone else have his way. Now, let's look at that a little bit. There are times, you know, God has said, do not compromise. So there's going to be some issues come up in your life, and you want to let it go because you don't want to separate or divide. You don't want a big argument to occur, but you're going to have to stay on your ground. And you're not going to be able to compromise. You're not going to be able to let the enemy come in, no matter what it costs. But, you know, those are very rare occasions, I hope, in our lives. All right, the word immolations. The Greek word zealous is used in a negative sense to depict a person who is upset because someone else achieved more or received more. Therefore, the first person is jealous, envious, resentful, and filled with ill will for that other person who received the blessing that he wanted. As a result of not getting what he desired, this first person is irritated, infuriated, irate, annoyed, provoked, and fuming that the other person did get it. In short, you could say that this person is really incensed and ticked off. Amen? You know, I've seen people who are into relationships, and if one of the other person separates from them, they're so upset they can't even treat self right, let alone anybody else right, because they're so mad that person had the audacity to walk away from them. Have you ever seen somebody like that? I mean, that's sad. That really is. It's best to walk away, let it go, and go on with your life than to let something take you to hell. Amen? All right, let's talk about the word wrath. The Greek word is used throughout the New Testament to picture a person who is literally boiling with anger about something. Although the person tries to restrain this anger by shoving it down deeper into his soul, it intermittently flares up. When that happens, that person is like a volcano that suddenly blows its top, scorching everything within its reach as it hurls its load of deadly molten lava onto the entire surrounding landscape. If you notice people who are have problems with demons in them, they're always angry. Always angry. But see, this is people who are full of wrath. They'll do dumb junk like that. They'll just do stupid things. And they don't enjoy their own self. And they're angry at their own self, so they can't enjoy anybody else because they're so full of anger, always throwing this anger out, and it's terrible. And some spirit and some of their self. I'm saying that because God told me they know exactly what they're doing and they enjoy being like that. And do you know that I was surprised that in the body of Christ there are people that enjoy being hateful? They just enjoy that. And that's sad because we don't serve a hateful God. Amen? All right, let's talk about wrath. That is the one we just talked about it. Oh, okay, let's talk about strife. All right, the word Arthuria describes a self-seeking ambition that is more concerned about itself and the fulfillment of its own wants, desires, and pleasures than it is in meeting the same needs in others. When Arthuria is working in someone's life, it means that a person's principal concern is to take care of himself and to get what he wants. Do you know people like that? You know, and they'll just start all kind of fights and arguments and everything else because they really, what the bottom line is, they're not getting what they want, so they're throwing a fit. Amen? All right, then this person is bent on getting what he wants, and he is willing to do anything, say anything, or sacrifice any standard, rule, or relationship to achieve his goals. Because his self-consumed, self-focused attitude is engrossed with its own desires and ambitions, it is blinded to the desires and ambitions of other people. All right, the next word is heresies. The Greek word heres carries the idea of a group of people who adhere to the same doctrine or who ardently follow the same leader and are sectarian. The adherents of a sect are usually limited in their scope and closed to outsiders, staying primarily to themselves. In New Testament times, these groups were considered to be unauthorized, because they were not submitted to the authority of the church leadership. In today's contemporary language, we would call them cliques, a group of people who believe or conduct themselves as if they are exclusive. All right, let's look at envyings. The Greek word implies a deeply felt grudge because someone possesses what a person wishes was his own. I see that all the time. Because this person has a chip on his shoulder, he begrudges what the other person possesses and is covetous of that person's belongings, accomplishments, relationships, or titles in life. Every time he sees the other person, he inwardly sees about his success. He deeply resents that person's blessing and tries to figure out a way to seize it away from the person he envies in order to make it his own. So we don't want to go into any envyings, do we? And you do see that a lot, too. You know, you get some perversion, you know, sexual perversion. Some men are envious of somebody else's wife or husband. Well, if it's a man from the wife, and they want what that man has, and they can't have it, so they get all upset and uptight, right? And the same thing happens, you know, and vice versa. And that isn't even godly. Let's talk about drunkenness. The Greek word refers to strong drink or to drunkenness. The consumption of wine for the sake of intoxication was common in the first century due to many pagan religions that employed wine as a part of their religious practices. A drunken state suppresses the mind's ability to think correctly and releases the flesh to fully express itself. Do you see what that says there? A drunken state suppresses the mind's ability to think correctly and releases the flesh to fully express itself. The believers in the first century were trying to walk free from the power of their flesh. The last thing they needed was to drink wine, inhibit their ability to think correctly, and revive the flesh, and then do things that were sinful or damaging. This is why Paul urged them to leave the wine alone. And when you see a person who's drunk, they're a mess, aren't they? Their flesh is totally taken over, and they can't even think. They don't even know what they did the next day. Amen? All right, revelings. The Greek word describes a person who can't bear the thought of boredom and therefore constantly seeks forms of amusement or entertainment. This person is actually afraid of being bored, so he constantly contemplates what he can do next to have fun or to be entertained. The word komio can refer to a person who endlessly eats at parties or who seeks constant laughter and hilarity. Although there is nothing wrong with laughter, this person is consumed with the need for comedy, light moments, fun, pleasure, entertainment, or constant eating. He lives for the next meal, the next restaurant, the next movie, and the next vacation. See that? We all know people like that, don't we? Sometimes I think one of them, when I just ate dinner, now I'm going to think about what I'm going to have for supper. Amen? All right, seditions. The Greek word means to stand apart as one who rebels and steps away from someone to whom he should have been loyal. Thus, the word sedition gives the impression of disloyalty. It is the ultimate act of defiance or disloyalty to an established authority. Now, and Paul ended this, and he said, let me see, where did he say that at? Where he said, and such like, let's read this. Now, let's read Galatians 5:19 again. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, and we go through all them. 21 says, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Okay, this is and the like. So whenever he says and the like, Paul ends this list with a Greek phrase. This is the Greek phrase that he ends it with here, which alerts us to the fact that this list of the works of the flesh is not comprehensive. All right? It is just the beginning of the works of the flesh. Many more examples of works of the flesh could be added to this list, but Paul uses these as examples of how the flesh behaves, ending the list once he has sufficiently made the point to his readers. Do you see where he says that there in 21? And the like. Now, remember when Paul wrote, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, he used a Greek tense that categorically means he is talking about those who perform these things as a matter of lifestyle, or who habitually are controlled by fleshly thoughts or deeds. To such people, the works of flesh are their ritual, their norm, and their pattern of life. Okay, let's ask ourselves these questions. Do you routinely commit adultery? Do you routinely live in fornication? Do you routinely allow yourself to think unclean thoughts? Do you routinely overindulge in sexual sins or gluttony? Do you routinely give your heart and devotion in idolatry to other things besides Jesus? Do you routinely run from the truth like those who practice in witchcraft? Do you routinely allow hatred to thrive inside your heart and soul? Do you routinely exhibit a bitterly mean spirit that is consumed with its own self-interest? Do you routinely permit yourself to be jealous, resentful, and envious of what others possess? Do you routinely lose your temper, fly into a rage, and give way to destructive outburst? Are you routinely so self-consumed that you are blinded to the desires or needs of others? Do you routinely rebel and live in defiance to authorities or show yourself to be disloyal? Do you routinely act as if you and your exclusive clique are superior to other people? Do you routinely begrudge other people's belongings, accomplishments, relationships, or titles in life? Do you routinely and deliberately allow your flesh to freely follow its temptations? And do you routinely live for the next moment of fleshly pressure? These are all things you're supposed to be asking yourself. Now, if you routinely do these things, you need to be very concerned about whether or not you are genuinely a child of God. I'm teaching this tonight because it's so imperative that we be a child of God and that we search ourselves very, very closely to make sure that we are not deceiving ourselves. Now, it is impossible, listen to what I'm saying, it is impossible for a real believer to continue habitually in sins. Did you hear what I said? It is impossible for a real believer to continue habitually in sins. If these works of the flesh are the norm, the pattern, the routine of a person's life, it may be an indication that he was never born again, thus providing the reason he will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you occasionally struggle with sin, you see what I said? If you occasionally struggle with sin, then go to God and allow him to show you how he sees your sin and get a revelation of what sin is, how grievous it is to the heart of God, and how damaging it is to your own soul. All right? Then ask him to forgive you and to cleanse you, and he will. But if you routinely do many of these things as a matter of lifestyle, I believe you need to go to God and ask him to tell you the truth about your spiritual status. You cannot afford to make a mistake about this eternal question. What are you doing as a routine in your life that you need to really get rid of because you are a child of God? Let's pray this prayer together. You ready? Lord, I thank you for saving me by the power of God. Help me put aside the works of the flesh once and for all. Please teach me to walk in the Spirit. I know that you have designed a powerful life for me, and I want to enter into that life in all its fullness. My heart's desire is to know you better and to walk with you. So today, I am asking that your Spirit propel me forward into this newer and higher way of living. And you know, I don't think that there's any one of us in here tonight that there isn't things that we do as a routine that we really need to get rid of. We might not think it's anything, but in God's eyes, it's a very serious thing. And, you know, I know that we are human, and I know that Jesus was human, and we can't. And he made a way of escape for each one of us. And so if we really, truly submit ourselves to God and just really, you know, really, really, really want to get out of this routine of the sin nature we have, I know that our God is able. Now, I know some of us have been trying for years and months and years to get rid of some things that we've done routinely in our life, but it hasn't happened yet. But God said, suddenly, in a blink of an eye, I'm going to yank all that junk out of you. So until God tells you that you're lost, totally lost, I'd keep trusting and believing God that he's well able to free me of anything that's wrong in me. You ready? I confess that I do not routinely perform the works of the flesh. As a genuine child of God, I live to please my Heavenly Father, and I am repulsed by sin when it tries to operate in my life. My spirit is sensitive to God, and my heart is tender to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I hate sin and its consequences, and I do everything I can to live and to stay in the presence of God. God really wants you to look up tonight, is what he's saying. He wants you to look up to him, the author and finisher of your life, and know that I'm there to help you. I'm there in the bad times. I'm there in the good times. I will always be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Your trials are going to get tougher. There's going to be more heartache and more pain, but I will be with you through it all. And just as I am with you, as you're hurting, I want you to be with those who don't know me, as they are hurting. Saints, we have a works to do. And we need to start doing it quickly.
We serve a great and awesome God. We just thank Him so much for giving us His prophetic word through His servant, Pastor Evangelist Barbara Lynch. We pray that you be blessed in this season, and thank you for listening to the Voice of Yahweh Radio Ministries.